الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. صدق الله العظيم. وبعد، we glorify and praise Allah Azza wa Jal limitlessly for the most precious gift of Iman. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the Qur'an Azeem, the magnificent Qur'an, that great word of Allah Ta'ala, in which is Hudan, it is Hidayat, guidance, it is Rahmah, it is the means of Allah's mercy raining down upon a person, it is Shifa, a means of cure for spiritual as well as physical ailments. It is Mubarak, it is that great Kitab of Allah Ta'ala that is full of abundant blessings, amongst the many other benefits. We try and listen to the surah recited at the beginning and use it as a means of correcting our reading with the karam and fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal. Today we look at this great surah, Surah An-Nasr, the very last surah revealed upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a complete surah. So as a surah in its entirety was the very last revealed upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, there were individual verses revealed upon our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after the surah. So it goes in the following order, that this surah, according to some of the commentators, was revealed in the farewell pilgrimage, the Hajjatul Wada' of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, together with the famous verses Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. Allah Ta'ala declares as a great glad tiding to this Ummah that today I have completed your Deen. It is complete. There is no need to take from anywhere else. I have perfected my favor upon you. There are no deficiencies in this Deen, and its injunctions are there, applicable for all times to come. And this ni'mah is Allah Ta'ala declaring emphatically that I am pleased for you with the deen of Islam and its injunctions as the only way of life. Therefore, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it does not suffice for any Yahudi or Nasrani after my coming, except to attain salvation, to believe in me as the final messenger. For indeed, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a completion in the long chain of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. So this verse, the surah, was revealed in its entirety as the very last surah. Yes, individual verses thereafter were revealed, but as an entire surah, the very last. No full surah was revealed after it, just as we looked at in the previous lesson. Surah Al-Fatiha was the first surah to be revealed as an entire surah. Yes, there were verses, Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi, Surah Al-Muddathir, etc., were revealed as individual verses before that. The surah was revealed together with Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum within the farewell pilgrimage, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived about 80 days thereafter. 50 days before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's departure from this dunya, a verse pertaining to specific injunctions about mirath, about inheritance, known as the verse of Kalalah, was revealed. Very important at this point, that whenever anybody in our families pass on, then ensure one of the rights is that we ensure that the entire estate is distributed in accordance with the laws of Shariat. This is not an optional thing that we can do so or we do not do so. Our duty, responsibility is leave behind a will in accordance with the distribution according to Shariat. And in the instance that somebody in our family passes away, then irrespective of what the situation is, It is our duty unto Allah Ta'ala that we distribute that inheritance in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's divinely compassionate of perfect wisdom, the distribution, the laws of distribution. So that verse was revealed 50 days before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's departure from this dunya. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had only 35 days left in existence, Allah reminds this ummah of the great favor of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this ummah and his outstanding attributes. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That Allah has sent to you, and this is a great favor, has sent to us, to this ummah, that great Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is of your own kind, who is from your own tribe, referring to the first recipients of Quran Azim. Another qiraat gives the meaning of the highest and most noble lineage. And what are the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That it pains Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when any harm befalls you, O the ummah. And what greater pain can there be in the heart, the Mubarak heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, than the Ummah becoming negligent from the commands of Allah Ta'ala, of becoming involved in rampant sin, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. That pains Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any harm that befalls you. And furthermore, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is desirous, harisun alaykum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is desirous of every kind of good for you. And furthermore, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam towards the believers, ra'ufun rahimun, extremely kind and very, very merciful. So this verse was revealed just 35 days before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam departed from this dunya. And then 3 weeks before Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to meet his beloved Allah Ta'ala, and according to some narrations, just 7 days before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, the very last verse, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, for reference purposes, it is the verse that comes before the lengthiest ayah in the Quran Kareem. And so aptly Allah Ta'ala tells us at the end of the mission of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reminding us that we have come to this dunya for a very short while to prepare for the everlasting life of the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala commands in the very last revelation upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just 7 days and some narrations 21 days before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's departure, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that prepare for and fear that day when you shall all, every one of you without exception, shall be returned unto Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, brought back to life for accountability. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And then every one of you will be given your recompensation in full after that accountability, the hisab in the court of Allah, and no zulm, no oppression will take place in the accountability in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So a reminder to prepare adequately for the everlasting journey of the hereafter. The surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, it is known as Surah Al-Nasr, because Allah uses the word An-Nasr, the great help and assistance to the ummah. In this surah, it is also known as Surah Al-Tawdi', the surah wherein Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bids farewell to this ummah. So Surah Al-Tawdi', which means the surah in which there was clear indication of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bidding farewell, imminent departure from this dunya. So in the surah, Allah azza wa jal says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when there will come the help of Allah Ta'ala and a great victory. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and then you will see people entering into the deen of Allah, into the deen of Islam, in droves, in huge multitudes. In large numbers, people will enter the fold of Islam. At that time, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then glorify, mention the purity of Allah, say Subhanallah, and with that, mention the praises of your Lord of Allah Ta'ala abundantly, say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, as much as possible, and with that, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, beg Allah Ta'ala forgiveness, إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, for indeed Allah Ta'ala is abundantly accepting of tawbah and repentance. Allah Ta'ala accepts abundantly when the servants of Allah Ta'ala turn to Allah Ta'ala in tawbah and repentance. And at this time more than ever, we are in need of abundant istighfar and tawbah. Let it not be that conditions prevail upon us because of our own sins, because of our own wrongdoings. similar circumstances prevail upon us, but Allah Ta'ala in His kindness and His mercy has given us this great door of tawbah, turning to Allah Ta'ala fervently, sincerely repenting from our sins, begging Allah Ta'ala forgiveness, making that firm intention to forsake haram and sin for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and see how Allah Ta'ala then opens up the doors of mercy, of blessings, of abundance. So in the surah, Allah Ta'ala gives the glad tidings about Allah's help coming and a great victory that will come to the Ummah. And that brings us to the discussion as to when exactly was the surah revealed. As mentioned, one opinion is during the farewell pilgrimage. So Allah Ta'ala counts, and the victory implied here is the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah Ta'ala counts it as a favor upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some commentators are of the opinion that this was revealed well before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah on the return journey from Khaybar. So it is possible that it was revealed at that time, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter recited it during the farewell pilgrimage. So those who were not in the know, may have newly entered the fold of Islam, thought that it may have been revealed on that occasion, the farewell pilgrimage. Whereas according to many commentators, it was revealed before that. So it prophesied, it spoke about the imminent victory, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah that would come along. And here we see the truthfulness of the Quran Kareem from various angles. And one of the angles is that the Quran Azim, many instances, and similarly in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are many instances where an event is prophesied before it's happening, and it turns out exactly as the Quran Azim or the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned as one of the signs that this is the true revelation upon Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, Allah Ta'ala, Alif Lam Mim, ghulibatir Rum fi adna al-ardi wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibuna fi bid'i sinin. When the Romans were defeated by the Persians, and this was in the very early days of Islam, and the mushrikeen, the polytheists of Makkah, taunted the believers in Makkah Mukarramah, the Muslimin, of the victory of the Zoroastrians, the fire worshippers, over the Nasara, over the Ahlul Kitab of the Roman Empire. But Allah Ta'ala said that in latter times, in future times, the tables will turn and the Romans will gain a victory over the Zoroastrians. And exactly as per the words of the Quran Kareem did it turn out. And we find many such instances. One occasion, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is at the home of one of his relatives, Hazrat Hani radiallahu anha, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rests. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wakes up smiling, and the Mubarak face is radiant. They inquire about from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the reason for this happiness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that I see in future times my ummah reclining like kings, traveling across the oceans for the cause of this deen. Hadrat Ummu Haram radiallahu anha, actually it is Ummu Haram radiallahu anha, the relative of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose home it was. She requests Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that make dua to Allah Ta'ala that I am amongst them. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives her the glad tidings that you will be from amongst them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rests again, and once again wakes up with the signs of radiance on the Mubarak face, again gives the glad tidings. I see furthermore a group of my ummah, like kings reclining on their thrones, traveling across the oceans. In other words, for the spread of deen. She says that make dua that Allah makes me amongst them as well. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you were from the first group. Subhanallah, look at the prophecy of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these were the very early days in Makkah Mukarramah. In latter times, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, initially the governor of Damascus and the lands of Sham, and thereafter Amirul Mu'minin of the entire Ummah, under his leadership, the first ever naval expedition over the oceans to the islands of Cyprus, Hadrat Ummu Haram radiallahu anha was in the first group when she had disembarked on that island for the spread of deen. Allah bless her with shahada. She fell off her conveyance, and her qabr up to this day is in Cyprus, and therefore she was in the first group. And when the second group traveled across the ocean, by then already she had passed away and therefore was not part of this group. So in this surah, Allah Ta'ala gives the glad tidings of Allah's great help coming to the Ummah, and specifically the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. In fact, this glad tiding was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the very, very early stages when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leaving in Hijrah, in migration, with a very, very saddened heart. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the night of Hijrah faced Makkah Mukarramah and said that you are the most beloved of cities for me. Innaki la ahabbu, you are the most beloved of cities for me. Had my nation not compelled me to migrate, I would never have forsaken you, I would never have left you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, they take the alternative route to Medina Munawwara to escape capture. And when they join up with the main road between Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara at a place, up to this day it is known by the same name as Juhfa. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that main road that goes on the one hand towards Medina Munawwara, once again felt saddened, felt hurt at leaving Makkah Mukarrama. On seeing that road, it reminded him of Makkah Mukarrama. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. Verily, that Allah Ta'ala who has made binding upon you the injunctions of the Qur'an Azim, that is our perfect law, the laws of Shariat, that Allah promises that He will certainly return you to your place of origin. So on the very night Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leaving already, the Qur'an had given the guarantee that you will return victoriously. And this happened 8 years thereafter the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. So Allah Azza wa Jal gives this great glad tidings of Allah's help coming and this great victory that will come, the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. Allah Azza wa Jal then says, once that happens, you will see people entering into the fold of Islam in huge multitudes, in droves, in big numbers. This was because the majority of the Arab tribes knew that the deen of Islam is the true religion. However, until Makkah Mukarrama was not conquered, there were some of them who were awaiting to see what is going to happen for fear that if we accept Islam now and it so happens that Makkah remains in the hands of the Quraysh, they will become opponents to us. But the moment that Makkah Mukarrama was conquered and majority of the leaders of Makkah Mukarrama then accepted Islam, then the Arabs were fully convinced, there was no longer any hesitation. So in large numbers thereafter, people entered the fold of Islam. Just from Yemen alone, 700 people in one group accepted Islam at one and in the same time. So Allah Ta'ala says, you will see people entering the fold of Islam in multitudes, in large numbers. And when that happens, what should you do? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. There are, at that point, praise Allah Ta'ala abundantly and glorify Him, and with that ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So when the surah was revealed, there were many Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in in that gathering. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, while others expressed joy, were happy with the glad tidings contained within the surah, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an started crying and weeping profusely. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in inquired as to the reason, as to why would you cry when there are glad tidings of the great victory of Allah in the surah, he says the surah also denotes the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the etiquettes thereafter, which also gives us the news of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's imminent departure from this temporary abode. So on that sadness we are weeping. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in later times says to the son of Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that is what we understood from the surah as well. Just as a similar instance in the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's last illness on earth, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an extremely weakened state to the ummah, that there is a servant of Allah. Allah has given that servant the choice either to remain further in this temporary abode or to go and meet his beloved Allah Ta'ala. And that servant has chosen the latter option, to go and meet his Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an says, may my parents be sacrificed for you, and he starts to cry. Others are amazed that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is merely mentioning a servant who has taken one of two choices, so why the need to cry? He replied that this is a clear sign that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure is very, very soon. It is imminent. This was the muhabbat Sayyidina Abu Bakr and generally Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the etiquettes, that how to conduct oneself when the mission is fulfilled and completed. First and foremost, attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. Praise Allah abundantly and mention Allah's purity. A great lesson in here, that it takes away from us pride. It takes away from us arrogance that I have done so and I have done this. So we attribute it all to Allah Azza wa Jal. Just as when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marches victoriously into Makkah Mukarrama, لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. With extreme humility, such humility that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had bowed on the conveyance, that the Mubarak beard was touching the conveyance, and attributing all of this only to the one great Allah Azza wa Jal, who alone has helped his servant, who alone has given victory over the various confederates who had connived and gotten together against the deen of Islam. So glorify and praise Allah Ta'ala, and with that, ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness for your shortcomings. Ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness for your shortcomings. Again, this breaks pride. Therefore, we find that after we complete Salah, when we complete our Fard Salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite, Allahu Akbar. In other words, that I've been given this tawfiq and guidance for the Salah, not my own strength, my own happiness, my own accord. I attribute it to Allah the Great. And thereafter, would say Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And after Fajr and after Asr, it is also mentioned the lengthier form, three times. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. So praising, glorifying Allah and asking Allah Ta'ala forgiveness. In fact, many Sahaba attest to the fact that after this verse, these verses were revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every gathering would do exactly this. Praise Allah, glorify Allah and seek forgiveness. Our respected mother, Hazrat Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, says that after the revelation of this verse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very often used to recite the following words, Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. That I pronounce the purity of Allah Ta'ala and I praise Him abundantly and I seek forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala and I turn in repentance to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that after these verses were revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself as shukr, as gratitude to Allah Ta'ala so fervently that the Mubarak feet would swell in excess of ibadat. So we try and learn these words, make our tongues moist with them, praise, glorify Allah Ta'ala for His ni'mas and favors, as well as asking Allah, begging Allah, beseeching Allah forgiveness for our sins. We go on to the second sector, inshallah, of our lesson, which is the shawqi akhirah, the shawqi watan, which is desire for the akhirah. Now, yesterday we had looked at those many ahadith as to the glad tidings that comes to a believer at the time of death. To summarize, the malaika, the angels come in the most beautiful appearance, saying many words of congratulation, of welcoming to Allah's mercy, of welcoming to Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, of welcoming to Allah Ta'ala's honoring that person. They come with the fragrances and the kafans of Jannah. They carry the many glad tidings that gives that person an indication of eternal success that awaits forever and ever in the hereafter. With that, they also convey the salam of Allah Ta'ala. And these glad tidings are such that at the time of death, in the qabr, day of qiyamah, even when that believer goes into Jannah, the joy and happiness of those glad tidings last with a person well into the days in Jannah. We go to the next chapter, which is chapter number 6, the meeting and conversing of the arwah, of the ruhs after death. So here we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and this is that sahabi who has the great honor of having been chosen by Allah Ta'ala as the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Medina Munawwara. The Ansar, in the proverbial hospitality, everyone was begging Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take up residence with them. He said, leave the camel, it is divinely commanded by Allah Ta'ala. It sat at the home of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. In fact, there is a long story. This home had been prepared for the coming of the final Nabi many centuries before that. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, in his end days, was honored by Allah Ta'ala while out in the spread of Islam, in the path of Allah Ta'ala, in the far off lands of what today is the outskirts of Istanbul, of Constantinople, and that was also prophesied its victory and its coming to Islamic hands at the time when it was the spiritual capital of Christianity in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many centuries thereafter, Allah Ta'ala gave this great victory of Constantinople, Istanbul, at the hands of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih on that great day, that great victory. So this was amongst the first efforts. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, under the leadership of his son Yazid, was in that army. And Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, well into his 90s, when he was asked, what does he require? He says nothing, and made a wasiyah that if I happen to pass away because he was old, advanced age, then even then carry my body to the last point of when you return back and return, then bury me at that point. And therefore we find his qabr, reputed qabr, very famously known in Istanbul, the area, the masjid around where it is. It is called Sultan Ayyub. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala strived in the path of Allah Ta'ala up to his end days. So he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the ruh of a mu'min is taken out, then the marhum, the deceased bondsman of Allah Ta'ala who had passed away before, come forward to meet him in the same manner in which a bringer of glad tidings is met in the dunya. So if somebody is coming with good news, we all hasten to listen that. What is the good news? When this person's ruh is taken out, those who had passed away before, the arwah come to meet and welcome. Then some of them say that give him a chance to rest because he was in great distress. When you go there and you realize the ni'mas of Allah, you will realize that this world is a place of distress, sorrow, worry. Thereafter, they begin to ask him that how is a certain person, did a certain woman so-and-so, did she marry onwards? If they happen to ask about a person who died before him and he says, that person died before me, they recite, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If they ask him that how is so-and-so, he says, well, he has passed away before me. They realize that he is not amongst the ruh of the mu'mineen, of the believers. So in great sorrow, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then they say, he must have been taken to his abode, which is Jahannam. It is a bad place to go and a bad place to live in. Therefore, very, very important that we make every effort to protect our iman. Until our dying moment, be wary and concerned about the protection of iman. We know with present circumstances, it reminds us that many, many challenges, many a time will come when the challenge of iman will become extremely severe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that badiru bil a'mal, hasten towards doing as much good as possible before the coming of such trials and tribulations like pieces of a dark night, one after the other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied and said, as we spoke about the prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about a time in future generations will come when a person will pass a grave, will roll around that grave and say, I wish I were the inmate of this qabr. How I wish that I was already dead and departed from this dunya because the abundance of trials and tribulations on iman. But a mu'min who holds steadfastly in challenging times, many glad tidings, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come when holding on to deen in its true form will be like holding on to burning coals. So anyway, they will say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He must have been taken to his abode, which is Jahannam. It is a bad place to go and a bad place to live in. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your deeds are presented before your family and relatives who have already passed on to the hereafter. If the deeds are pious, they become happy and joyful and say, O Allah, this is from your grace, favor and mercy. Complete your benefaction towards him, grant him death on these deeds of piety. The deeds of sinners are also presented before them because they go there and realize that what do good and bad deeds turn into. So when the news reaches them that so and so of your family is committing various sins, they say, O Allah, put piety in his heart so that it may become a cause of your pleasure and nearness. They beg Allah at that point to guide that person towards good deeds. The hadith thereafter, Sayyidina Sa'id bin Jubair radiallahu ta'ala says, when someone dies, his children who may have passed on before in the Alamul Arwah, the abode of souls, welcomes that person like one who has returned after a long absence. So a person is welcomed in the hereafter by those of relatives who have passed on before. It is narrated from Thabit al-Bunani rahimahullah that the narration has reached us as follows. When someone dies, and at the time of reaching the Alamul Arwah, the kingdom and the realm of souls, then the family members and relatives who had died before surround that person on all sides. They are happy and he is happy, much more than a traveler on earth who returns towards one family is happy. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to lead our lives in such a manner that at that moment it is joy for us as well as those who have superseded us in iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.